At 8:15 on a Saturday night in 1994, an ambulance rolled up to Riverside General Hospital with a 31-year-old woman who could barely breathe. Her name was Gloria Ramirez. She was awake, frightened, and very sick. She had advanced cervical cancer. Her heart was racing too fast to fill properly between beats. You know, her blood pressure was dropping. The team did what emergency teams do: oxygen, monitors, defibrillator pads, IVs, a blood draw. Everyone in the room was trying to keep one person alive. Then the room started failing around her. A nurse drew blood and noticed a strange chemical smell. A respiratory therapist smelled it too. A doctor saw unusual particles floating in the sample. Someone noticed an oily sheen on Gloria's skin. Others described a garlic-like odor. Then one staff member swayed and collapsed. Then another. Within minutes, the emergency room was no longer just treating a patient. The emergency room had become the emergency. Staff reported lightheadedness, nausea, burning skin, tremors, breathing problems, and fainting. People were being wheeled out of the trauma room on gurneys. Replacement staff came in, and some of them began feeling sick too. This is the moment where the story sounds like urban legend. A woman comes into an ER, and the people trying to save her start dropping. But the event was real. Riverside declared an internal emergency. Patients were moved out of the ER. Under the orange exterior lights, hospital staff treated people in the parking lot. Clothes were bagged. Hazmat crews arrived. The hospital went on diversion, sending new emergency patients somewhere else. Inside, a skeleton crew kept working on Gloria. They tried to stabilize her. They shocked her heart. They pushed medication. At 8:50 p.m., after everything they tried, Gloria Ramirez was pronounced dead. That should have been the end of a tragic medical case. Instead, it opened one of the strangest forensic investigations in American hospital history. In all, accounts commonly say 23 of 37 emergency room staff reported symptoms. 5 were hospitalized overnight. One doctor later described a much more serious recovery, including breathing episodes and long-term complications. The first suspicion was obvious: toxic gas. Maybe sewer gas had entered the room. Maybe some industrial chemical had contaminated the patient, the ambulance, the clothing, the blood sample, or the hospital air. Hazmat teams searched for the smoking gun. They tested the emergency room for dangerous compounds. They looked for the kind of invisible thing that could knock down trained medical staff in the middle of a resuscitation. They did not find it. The mystery then moved to, the autopsy room. The coroner's team approached Gloria's body as if it might still be dangerous. Samples were collected, air was tested, the body bag and storage container were treated as possible evidence. Still, no simple answer appeared. And, when no obvious chemical was found, the explanation that started to circulate was one of the most loaded phrases in medicine: mass hysteria. Today, people might say mass sociogenic illness. The idea is not that staff were lying. It is that fear, stress, sensory cues, and a chaotic environment can create real symptoms that spread through a group. Emergency rooms are high-pressure places. This was a young, dying patient. There were strange smells. People saw colleagues collapse. The mind and body can absolutely amplify danger signals. But that explanation did not satisfy everyone, because some symptoms looked too severe, because multiple witnesses described strange physical observations, because a blood sample reportedly contained unusual particles, because some staff members had recoveries that did not feel like a passing panic event. So the coroner's office asked for outside help. The case eventually reached scientists at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory's Forensic Science Center. They studied the samples in the timeline and built a chemical hypothesis around one compound, DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide. DMSO is an industrial solvent, but it has also been used as an alternative pain remedy. The Livermore scenario suggested that if Gloria had DMSO in her system, oxygen and emergency treatment conditions might have pushed it along a chemical path. DMSO could become dimethyl sulfone, also called DMSO2. That part mattered because dimethyl sulfone can crystallize. It gave investigators a possible explanation for the particles people saw in the blood. Then came the more dramatic step. Under the right conditions, the theory proposed, dimethyl sulfone could be oxidized again into dimethyl sulfate, a highly toxic chemical. In other words, the lab's theory was not that Gloria herself was a monster or a curse or a walking chemical weapon. It was that a chain of chemistry might have happened under rare, awful, hospital-specific conditions. DMSO2 to dimethyl sulfate, solvent, crystal clue, possible toxic vapor. It is elegant as a mystery solution, maybe too elegant. The Livermore hypothesis was published in a forensic science journal. It gave the story a mechanism. It connected the oily sheen, the garlic-like odor, the particles, and the staph symptoms into one chain. But other scientists pushed back. Some chemists argued that the proposed transformation into dimethyl sulfate would be very unlikely under those conditions. Others questioned whether enough toxic vapor could have formed to affect so many people in the room. The mass sociogenic illness explanation did not vanish. The chemical theory did not become universal truth. That is what makes this case feel like a reality glitch. Not because reality broke in a supernatural way, because every answer leaves a seam showing. If it was only panic, why did the observations line up around smell, sheen, particles, and exposure? If it was chemistry, why was the exact chain so difficult to prove? If the room was contaminated, why did the hazmat search fail to find the villain? If the body released toxic fumes, why did the explanation remain controversial? The story became famous under a nickname, the Toxic Lady, but that label is the least useful part of the case. Gloria Ramirez was a daughter, a wife, a mother, and a person dying of cancer in a hospital room. The people around her were trying to save her. The staff who collapsed were not props in a horror story. They were medical workers in a real emergency that suddenly became two emergencies at once. The mystery is not whether Gloria was toxic. The mystery is how a normal ER procedure turned into an evacuation, a hazmat response, a forensic chemistry puzzle, and a debate that still has not completely settled. Maybe the answer is chemistry. Maybe the answer is stress moving through a room faster than anyone wanted to admit. Maybe it is both, a strange odor, a frightening sample, a dying patient, a high-pressure room, and human nervous systems doing what they do when the invisible feels dangerous. What we can say is this. On February 19th, 1994, Riverside's emergency room tried to save one patient. Then the room itself became the patient. And 30 years later, the case still sits in that uncomfortable space between explanation and proof. That is where reality glitches lives. If you want more strange true stories that refuse to stay explained, like, subscribe, and find the full archive at Archive of Worlds.